Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable.
Oh. MG's Rugby League Rundown.
I'll tell you what. This sport never sleeps, MG.
Oh, man. I'm honestly... I need a holiday. I need a holiday because it's just never ending. It's getting worse. There's more off the field than there is on the field. I mean, we every week we get to this podcast and we go, geez, I hope we can talk about footy. Well, guess what? We can't.
MG's Rugby League Rundown. MG, Liam Flanagan here, producer Charlie, pushing the buttons, fact-checking for us as well back in the studio. Now, before we get stuck into the Newcastle situation, we haven't spoken since the sad passing of, and the tragic passing of Paul Green, MG.
No.
I know you've said your piece on Triple M Sydney Breakfast and there's been, you know, tributes and comments made all over the place, but for the family of the Rush Hour or the MG's Rugby League Rundown, formerly the Rush Hour, how are you going after, you know, what, it's only 5 days on?
Oh, you know what, I think this one hit pretty hard. I think this death hit really hard because of the fact that most people saw Greeny the week before at the Cronulla reunion, and he was apparently by all in great spirits and having fun and joking around, and then he had his young bloke's birthday on the Sunday before it happened, and you know, he was being mentioned in different dispatches with clubs as far as being a coach goes. So it's just so left field. And it was a big shock. And I think that the message we get out of it, and I think JT said it last night on 100% Rugby League, is we've got to talk more. We always lament after the passing of someone who tragically commit suicide, but it's a massive problem. It's a massive problem, and it's getting worse. You know, I think gone are the days of just ringing your mate and asking if they're okay. You've got to physically take your mate if you think something's happening to someone to see. And that was the scary thing about Liam in this. No one saw anything in Greeny. So it's scary. It's really scary because if it can happen to a guy who seemingly has the world at his feet, at 49 years of age, well, you can think it can happen to anyone, don't you?
Yeah. That's what Wayne Bennett told us on the Rush Hour here in Brisbane and the Gold Coast last week, is that he'd offered him a job. You know, this Paul Green was on a comeback trail to the world of rugby league coaching, first grade coaching, as an assistant at the Dolphins next year. And you're right, MG. I know personally I've been giving my wife and my kids lots of hugs this week just because, you know, it makes you reflect on what you've got in your own life, and you talk about talking and starting the conversation. I think you're right. It's not just a matter of that phone call of, oh, how are you going? You've almost got to look
at it.
You got to do the work. You got to do the work for those that you care about, the near and dear to you. Do the work. You know, work hard to make sure you know what's going on and you're keeping tabs on those that you love. So I will say that for anybody listening out there who's triggered by any of this or feels like they don't have somebody to turn to, Lifeline is one of the best services going around in this country. 13, 11, 14. It is there to help you through any emotional hardship you're going through. Suicide prevention, that is the phone number to call if you're feeling like you need somebody to talk to as a matter of urgency. Let's move on. Let's talk about the game of rugby league, the world of rugby league. And we've got to head up the M1, MG. Newcastle, Steel City. What the bloody hell is going on?
Yeah, well, I was like most. I saw the footage yesterday started to circulate from something that allegedly happened on Saturday night between Kalen Ponga and Kurt Mann, who were both out injured, one with a head knock, one with a cork or something. At the same time, apparently, that his team were getting their ass kicked in Queensland by the Broncos. So there is definitely a culture issue within the Newcastle Knights. You know, clamour last week. Now we're seeing that... Tuala and Bradman Best have been stood down. You can tell us a little bit more about that in a minute.
Well, while you mention them, you're right. We'll get back to the Ponga situation, but Inari Tuala and Bradman Best, it's been revealed today, have been essentially dropped from first grade, and Peter Parr, the football manager of the Knights, explained why.
Bradman Best and Anari Tuala have both been stood down from NRL duties this weekend to play New South Wales Cup for not meeting team standards. They were both late for the team bus on Sunday morning in Brisbane. They weren't late by a long period of time, but we just believe that they didn't meet the standards necessary, and so Adam was in complete agreeance that it didn't meet the standards of the team. And if you're not getting what some people consider the smaller things right, then you're no hope of getting the bigger picture stuff right. So we thought it was an appropriate form of action.
Yeah, oh, touche. Touche. I mean, the good club, Penrith and the Cowboys and the Sharks and Melbourne and South and Brisbane and Parra and the Roosters don't have players late to buses. And they're all in the top eight. Little things add up to big things. It's an attitude thing. And if you're being late to the team bus when you know that you're the only one who is late, or in a mate, you know that you're letting your teammates down. So I applaud the action. Maybe this would be the start of something that's resembles a rugby league team, because at the moment this year they've been rudderless. They've been shocking this year, and a lot of people before this year were blaming Mitchell Pearce about all the woes that would happen. Well, he's the one they're missing. he's the glue that's missing from this Newcastle outfit at the moment. And when you're not winning games and you're coming third last in the competition, things kind of escalate, and that's what's happening with Newcastle. And we saw it with Kalen Ponga and Kurt Mann at a pub Saturday night, coming out of a cubicle. Yeah, and look, we've all got, everyone thinks they know what went on. We don't know what went on because we weren't in the cubicle with them. But we've got a few.
No. Andre Ponga knows what went on. The father of Kalen, he's come out and released a statement, or he's spoken to the media, a News Corp, I believe, and he said Kalen just bought a house. He was out celebrating the real estate purchase, and he started to feel ill, and his mates were in there helping him in the toilet while he was feeling ill. That is, to the closest person we can get to it, that is what happened.
Oh, well, you got to agree. If you got to take that on board, well, all we can go on is what we saw, the optics of what we saw. And we saw two blokes walking out of a, apparently there was a third there as
well.
There
was a third.
So it was like, and coming out with a bourbon and Coke in your hand, which just straight after being sick, you'd think would be the worst thing you could have. So everyone's got their own opinion on what happened. And I would love, and this is speaking from experience. I've been in a lot of trouble over my career, and a lot of it I denied. But it always caught up with me. It always caught up with me, no matter how much I tried to hide it. And I think for their sake, they should have just been transparent from the get-go. You know, I know it's a bit of a shock when you see that, find out someone's been filming you unexpectedly. You know, you all of a sudden, and in fact, who knows if it wasn't planned by the security guard and someone else who was filming. I don't know that, but it looked pretty sus. The whole situation looked sus. But when you're walking out of a cubicle with another bloke with a drink in your hand, you're doing one of two things. And everyone can use their imagination on what those two things are. The other thing is they're both injured. And this goes back to the whole kind of culture at Newcastle, that most injured players go away with the team. That they want to be there. They're saying, you know, can I pay my own way? Jackson Hastings did it earlier in the year when he went to the Gold Coast with the Tigers when he had just arrived. There's a player you should be looking at in Newcastle, Jackson Hastings, for a bit of a guy who can control your culture a bit. The fact that they were at a pub at the same time their teams were getting their bums kicked just kind of reeks of unprofessionalism. There's a rebuild on the way. They need to rebuild Newcastle. They need to knock it down and then rebuild it, because their Reggies aren't going much better. They have got a young crop of kids coming through SG Ball, which they won't be in first grade for 3 or 4 years, so you can't rely on them. The problem's got to be fixed tomorrow. And it starts with what Peter Parr's just done, by saying if you're not on the bus when you're supposed to be, you're out. Start implementing other things that, you know, just catch the people's eye. So whatever happened, we'll find out soon what happens to Kalen Ponga and Kurt Mann, because the integrity unit will hand down their findings today. But you can imagine it's going to be a stiff fine with maybe a suspended sentence.
So Ponga and the Knights and Peter Parr said as much today. I don't want to say that they're hiding behind the integrity unit's investigation, but I'm sure that there's RLPA aspects to this, which probably prohibits the Knights from punishing these two players. Who have Peter Parr said in the press conference today, in the media, when he spoke to the media, this is the Knights footy boss, he said, they've told me they weren't doing drugs. in effect. They were, a direct question was asked by, I believe it was Cody Kaye from Fox Sports. The appearances, the perception is those blokes are in that cubicle doing drugs.
Well, we
Peter Parr has said, I can't comment on that because they've told me they weren't, and I've got to take their player, the players at their word. And I respect that from Peter Parr, and you need that foundation within the club.
What else can you say? You know, what else can you say besides, okay, well, and then now we're talking about, I read a story this morning in the Sydney Morning Herald about, you know, doing strand tests for hair and for drugs because, you know, urine samples, they're out in 2 days or something. The players say that, well, you've got to start probably motioning towards believing them, but it wasn't a good look.
And I'll play this grab from Peter Parr in a moment. In fact, he has said, I'm taking the word of the players. I've got to take them at their word that they weren't doing that in the bathroom. And so they're not handing down a punishment to Kalen or Kurt Mann at this stage. But in regards to Kalen drinking, whilst he's ruled out for the remainder of the season with concussion, what I couldn't cop from Peter Parr in that press conference was the line that, well, no one had told Kalen he couldn't drink.
Oh, come on, man.
That feels like a cop-out to me.
This is the captain of your club. This is the captain of your club. You should know that.
But the inference there is that Kalen needs to be explicitly told what he can and can't do. This is the marquee player that the Knights have invested their future in.
Yeah, $5 million for the next.
And
five
if you're
going
to trot out the line, well, he wasn't explicitly told by any trainers that he couldn't drink. That felt like a cop out to me. As far as the punishment for Kalen goes, he's the captain of the club or co-captain of the club. This is what Peter Parr had, because the suggestion last night by a lot of media was that Kalen would have the captaincy taken away. This is what Peter Parr had to say about Kalen Ponga being a young captaincy and potentially taking it away from him.
I'll say this, that I think that it's there has been a lack of leadership around the playing group. It's a young group, and just because you make somebody a leader or put them in a position of leadership doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to grasp the leadership straight away. That can be an education process. So the club and the coaching staff, everybody has a role in playing to educate the players in that facet.
Yeah, look, Parry's been at Newcastle. I know Parry very, very well. Go back to my Western Reds days when he was the junior Reds coach, my first coach, my brother Matt, over in Perth. So I know him really well. Then I know him through the Cowboys, and I know him through New South Wales.
New South Wales, exactly.
And I know he's a man of integrity. I really do. I'll vouch for him every day of the week.
Yep.
I'm not going to look too much into that interview because he's only just landed in Newcastle. So
he's 2 weeks into the job.
He hasn't asserted his authority. In the 2 weeks, he's had two dramas. He probably had two throughout his whole 15 years at the Cowboys. So there's a lot of baying for blood out there at the moment for these two guys. There's a lot of, you know, drop, take the captaincy away from them, do this, do that. I think, as I said earlier, I think the quicker you own it and let the healing process start, the better it is for everyone. It just is. Again, I'm speaking from experience. Once you say it, that what you did and you're being honest about it, everything else just falls into line. And it's one thing I've learned over my life. The more honest you are, the more good things happen to you.
The healing can begin as soon as you own your mistakes.
You do, Liam. You do own it. And other people respect that. And the bloke in the pub now who's got his opinion of these two guys and telling his mates about that opinion, well, their opinion stops as soon as you come out and say what you did. It just stops it all.
So there's an opportunity for the Knights, and just on your Peter Parr comment, as I said, he started in this role on the 1st of August, and this is a bloke who has been crucial to not only the Cowboys runner with Paul Green, who was a close friend of Peter Parr's, but also an integral part of Brad Fittler's New South Wales Blues setup. So this is a bloke who, it's a great appointment by the Knights to get this man in the door. And as you say, I think his influence over the next, you know, however long will shine through. How would you punish the players if you're the Knights?
I think he's a Newcastle local, so that's probably why he's going back home.
How would you punish these two blokes if you were involved in the decision making at the Knights?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I wouldn't be taking the captaincy off Kalen Ponga, that's for sure. I'd be making him aware of the fact that you're the man, you're the marquee man at this club, and you're the one who's going to take us to the semi-finals next year. You're the one, because you are that player, but. This is not this look that you and Kurt Mann have given us coming out of a cubicle at a pub when we're up getting our bums kicked by Broncos is so bad for morale. The morale of the club is just at an all-time low. So I don't know. Do you fine them? Do you suspend them? I'm pretty happy to whatever they come up with. I haven't really thought about what their fines should be, because that's all we seem to be talking about lately is how long should they be suspended for and how much should they cop as a punishment. I'll go along with whatever Newcastle and the integrity unit go along with. I know what I saw, and I know if that was my young bloke, I'd kick him up the arse and say, "What'd you do? Let me know right now, because we can stop it here." But the excuses coming out are comedic.
But the only thing I would add, if I'm involved in the Knights process, I'd say for the round you got a home game against the Raiders this weekend, but for the round 24 game against the Gold Coast Titans, you blokes are not only getting on the plane, you will be in full regalia, you'll be in a full uniform, you'll be in a club polo shirt, and you'll be in a pair of slacks, and you will be in the rooms pre-game, you'll be in the rooms at halftime, you will be seated in a visible
position.
It's in
the position. Box with the coach.
If you blokes can't be trusted to stay home for a weekend, we're going to put you to work during these away games. We're going to give them, I don't know, make them count tackles, make them count missed tackles, have them an active part of this team for the remainder of the season on game day. And that,
I think that's a must. I think that's
an element to get them involved.
Yeah.
Adam O'Brien, tell you what, that is a, I hate the market, but short odds for first coach in trouble next year.
Yeah, you'd think so. They've got well, you know what, saying that, look at the Cowboys last off-season. Look at the Sharks last year. Both these two teams under a different regime, same coach at Cowboys, but Todd Payton's turned that club around remarkably. Mm. And Sharks with Fitzgibbon, he's turned that club around remarkably based on one thing, based on fitness. They're both have a high ethic as far as fitness goes, them two guys. And you can tell that both these clubs are going to be thereabouts in this competition up until the 80th minute because they're so fit. The Cowboys had a bit of a reality check last week against the Roosters, up against the big boys who are coming to get everybody. But the Sharkies seem to be plugging away, and they seem to have that hard-nosed Wade Grahams and Finucanes in their team that can get them over that next ridge, which I think they're a real danger team coming to competition this year, Sharkies.
I love this point, and I just want to drill down on it for a moment. You talk about fitness, because that's not something you have to be born with. Talent.
In fact, it's the opposite.
You don't have to be talented to get fit.
It's what makes the average players great. It's what makes the average players great, and I drum it into anyone I can drum it into. Train when no one's watching. That's what these guys do to a man. They do their extras. Their Monday, after a Saturday night game, they go and have a couple of drinks or food. They get home, and Monday they're back into it. That's how you win comps.
You talked about him before on the show, MJ, Dylan Edwards.
Yeah.
There is a bloke who is not blessed with the gifts of a James Tedesco or a Kalen Ponga, but is the fittest at the Panthers. The fittest at the reigning premiers.
I would say the fittest in the comp. He was sitting on the bench 5 years ago for SG Ball, couldn't get a run. Run as a utility player.
I reckon you'd struggle to find a lock in the competition who's as fit as Isaiah Yeo.
Yeah.
That is a team that, yes, they are blessed with some very naturally gifted players, but it's also a very fit team and a hard-working team. So, righto, let's move on, because we'll stay with coaching for a moment. We're going to stay down the bottom of the ladder. The Dogs, it's official. Cam Serrato, 5 years. He's got a couple more months with your Penny Panthers, a chance to win another competition, and then he's off to run his own ship.
Yeah, again, a bit like Peter Parr. So I'm vested in this because I know Serrato pretty well. I know how he's been at the club for so long. I know that probably 9 or 10 of this current first grade team won the competition in the under-20s with him as coach. And he's brought them all along. He's gone through Gus Gould arriving at the club, then Griffin, then Ivan again. So he's been through a bit of turmoil, which I think is good for undertaking a 5-year deal with the Bulldogs. I think what the main thing will do with the Bulldogs, it'll give them some stability as far as signing players go. His reputation throughout the land, Serrato, is second to none. He's a guy who where some coaches seem to put themselves before the players. He's not. he's straight out of the Ivan Cleary, the Bellamy, the Bennett. It's all about the players. It's all about the players. He would sit there with a mask on if he could, if no one could recognise him, because he just doesn't care about the cameras. He doesn't care about himself. He just cares about the players who he's coaching. They call him the Minister of Defence in Penrith because he set up this this regime as far as, you know, defending for your mate, and that everyone buys into. We talked about fitness before. Well, second to that in rugby league is defence. Everyone can run the ball. Everyone can put the ball over the try line. Inverted commas, that's the easiest part of the game. The hardest part is defending your own line for five sets in a row and being fit enough to defend them in a good structure. Well, that's what Serrato brings. And our word this morning was that maybe Madge McGuire, who was seen speaking to Gus Gould earlier in the week, or last week that was, about maybe a possible assistant coach role to Serrato, which I would love. I would love that combination. I think Madge could reinvent himself as an assistant coach. I really do. I think that if he came, if he was assistant coach of say a Sharks or a Dragons or indeed a Canterbury, I think it could be the second coming of Madge, because you'd get to appreciate what it's like being in the cauldron again, but not being the man up front. And I think someone like Serrato might need someone like him as a, just a bit of a handbrake, just to bounce things off.
He's your hard ass. He's your taskmaster.
He's your good cop, bad cop. You know, exactly. You need one of them. And I think the appointment of Serrato, Liam, will make sure that I think Burton extends his stay. I'm pretty sure that, you know, Kick Hours are going to be a lot more comfortable now that he knows that he's going there. Reed Marnie, likewise. I think Ryan Sutton from Canberra is going there. They've got Pengai Jr., who we saw him last year at Penrith for them six games where he didn't get penalised. You know, and he was so destructive. So little subtle things that will change for him just being himself. I'd take the other side where, is it a risk? Of course it's a risk. Of course signing a rookie coach to a five-year deal is a risk. But are Canterbury in the realms of doing anything else? I don't think so. I think they need to roll the dice.
And can I ask you, why is this different? Otherwise. Devil's advocate, why is this different to Trent Barrett? Because it was only 2 years ago, where the Bulldogs did this exact thing, but it was Trent Barrett, the assistant, coming from the Panthers.
Okay, well, with all due respect to Trent Barrett, Trent Barrett was the only coach that didn't get Penrith under-20s to the top eight. In all the time they played under-20s, they made the finals and grand finals every year. Trent Barrett's first year as coach, they didn't make the eight. So that kind of gives you a bit of insight into the difference. Trent Barrett is probably the best assistant coach in the competition, because the attacking structure that he set up with Penrith were friggin' enormous. Mm. So I just think some guys were born to be in that assistant role, and I think Trent Barrett's one of them. That's why his name's getting mentioned now with the Dragons and assistant coach there. I think his reputation throughout the land is that he makes a fantastic assistant coach when the pressure isn't just all on him. You know, we saw him go to the Bulldogs and try and do the same type of game plans that Penrith had. Well, you've got different players. You've got to adapt. Look at Mick Potter's done. So, for instance, straight away I see a difference. Cameron Serrato, I think, is a lot more cool, calm and collected. He's a lot more reserved. He's a lot more in the background than Baz. Baz looks like he can still play. Baz is
cursed by his looks. He's the most handsome man in rugby league, current playing group included.
Probably, yeah. And that's something that, you know, that's not a bad point you make. It's
he couldn't stay in the background if he wanted to. Someone would go, "Who's that good looking rooster in the background? Come up the front here, mate. We need you front and center." He would have been made to sit in the front row of every school photo he was ever in.
So you can to be a first grade coach, you can't have that charisma.
No.
You can't be more popular than your players.
Exactly.
Your players are going to be more popular than you. And that's why you just sink in the background. Then, unfortunately, Baz, the Madonna's looks, brother, have cursed you.
Yeah, exactly. He gives with the Lord gives with one hand and takes away with the other.
Great times for Dogs. I mean, 5 years. My bold prediction for them is that within 5 years, I think they're going to give the competition a shake.
They're holding the shield up, maybe. All right, I tell you what we're going to do.
I don't think they win the comp in 5 years, but they're going to get damn close.
We talked about potentially doing this last week, but we're going to rattle through it here, MG. I have got the NRL's ladder predictor up, right?
Yep.
And what we're going to do, we've got 3 rounds to go. We're going to tell everybody what the first week of finals looks like right now. Right here,
right
now.
Let's do it. I'm ready for
you. Let's rattle through. Panthers take on the Bunnies. We're going to rattle through round 23 here. Panthers v. Bunnies.
Yep, I think this is a danger game. Rabbitohs could beat them. This is the first time I could go against the Panthers this year.
Wow, okay. I'll tell you what.
If Latrell plays, I think Rabbitohs might get them.
He suffered a little injury the other morning, didn't
he? Yeah, they said a little bit of a groin injury. But look, if he plays, they're in trouble. I think if he doesn't play, Penrith win.
I tell you what, let's go with Penrith. Let's just be conservative to a degree.
Okay.
Cowboys v. Warriors. Cowboys.
Yep.
Storm v. Broncos, Suncorp Stadium.
Storm.
The Storm. Eels v. Bulldogs, that's at Combank.
Eels. They play
Manly v.
week.
Sharks at Brookvale.
Danger game for Sharks, but I think they'll prevail.
Roosters v. Tigers at the SCG.
Roosters.
Dragons v. Titans at Wynn Stadium.
Dragons.
It's irrelevant to finals. Raiders v. Knights at McDonald Jones Stadium.
Raiders v. Knights, Raiders. So that game against the Dragons and Titans, that's where we should be playing without the bunker and without the captain's challenge.
This is the MG, they use the non-important games to experiment. Righto, we're into round 24 now. Broncos v. Eels. This one's at Suncorp Stadium on a Thursday night.
Broncos.
Panthers v. Warriors at Panther Stadium.
Pennies.
Panthers. Storm v. Roosters, Amy Park, down in Melbourne on a Friday night.
Storm.
Hard to tip against them at home. Raiders v. Manly in Canberra.
Raiders.
Sharks v. Bulldogs. This is Saturday evening.
Sharks.
Rabbitohs Cowboys, Acor Stadium. Saturday night.
Rabbitohs.
West Tigers Dragons, another irrelevant game at Combank Stadium. Should be playing with some experimental rules.
Yeah.
Titans v. Knights, another unimportant game.
Yep.
We'll roll on. All right, final round of the season. Here we go. We're about to tell you what the first round of finals will look like. Eels v. Storm.
Oh,
Combank Stadium,
here.
Thursday
up
night.
Oh.
The Storm will have basically wrapped up a top four spot.
Yeah, I still think they'll win. I still think Storm will win.
Bulldogs, Seagulls. Irrelevant game.
Seagulls, yeah.
Rabbitohs, Roosters, Allianz Stadium, Friday night.
Roosters.
Warriors, Titans. Irrelevant game.
Yep.
Dragons, Broncos, Netstrata Jubilee Stadium.
Probably the Drags.
Cowboys, Panthers, North Queensland Stadium. Road trip for the Panthers to finish the season.
Yeah. Still without their players. It's going to be a hard one for them, but Panthers will win.
Okay. And then Sharks Knights up in Newcastle.
Sharks.
Raiders, Tigers. Final game of the season, Sunday afternoon at Leichhardt.
Yeah, I think the Raiders will win their last three. So they'll finish on 30.
Now, this is not taking in for or against, but first round of the finals.
Yep.
Sees the Panthers take on Cowboys. 1v4.
Yep.
You'll see the Sharks take on the Storm. Melbourne with the home ground there in Amy Park. There's your top four. Yep. Panthers get a home final. Storm get a home final.
Yep.
Your elimination semifinals. The Roosters will play Parramatta. Roosters with home ground advantage.
Wow.
And the Bunnies will host the Broncos.
There you go. That's why I've got it. Yeah, that's the way I think. That's what I think. And that's the two teams with little backdoor it straight away will be Parramatta and the Broncos.
Now, based on our predictions there, the Raiders miss out on for and against only.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So this is not set by any means. It looks like it's the Eels and the Broncos are the two teams that are at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I beg your pardon. Wow, that's incredible. Oh, my goodness. I've just realized what we've done, MG. According to these predictions, and I think producer Charlie's worked it out, Roosters, Rabbits, Bronx, Eels, and the Raiders all finish on 30 points.
Mm.
And it's for and against only. which will dictate who hosts the game.
Yeah, well, Canberra at the moment have a minus 31 differential, where South are a plus 134, Brisbane are plus 69, so or Parramatta are only plus 28. So you'd think that if Canberra were to make the eight, it'd be at the expense of the Eels or the Broncos. So the Broncos and Eels would have to lose at least two of their last three for that to happen.
I still think the Raiders are going to get there.
They still could.
I still think the Raiders are going to get there. Have we ever had five through nine finish on the exact same points before ever?
I don't think it can have
happened.
It's remarkable. It's remarkable how close this competition is. And even now, once you know that Penrith have had their suspension and injury worries, and the Cowboys look like they've kind of hit the wall a little bit. Sharkies look like they're cruising along. Storm are the ones who have got their second win. Same as Souths, who have won six of their last seven since Luttrell's been back. Brisbane, kind of, you know, floundering somewhat. Parramatta, very much similar to Brisbane. The Roosters are the team. If there's one team in this competition at the moment who can win the competition from outside of top four, it's them. I don't want to play them.
The Rabbitohs last week. Now it's the Roosters. You don't want to play the Roosters.
Because I watched that performance against the Cowboys, and they were on. As soon as the Cowboys got close, they put their foot down and said, "Come on, boys, we've got to drift away from these guys to, you know, not to give them any hope." And they didn't. It was one of the better wins of the season, and I think what that made me do was, look, they're both the same. They've both got, you know, South Sydney with Luttrell back are amazing, but the Roosters have got so much power. Well, what about Matt Lodge's pickup for the back part of the year? You've got Gerard Weir-Hargraves, who's at the moment the best front rower of the game. Then you've got his sidekick, who's coming in like a, you know, Batman and Robin, going, "Man, just do what you do, and I'm going to come with you." That's formidable. It's formidable. So what a final series we're about to embark upon, people. So put your seatbelts on and click clack front and
Joseph,
back.
Joseph Su'ali'i just turned 19.
Yeah, he's on the Kangaroo 12. He'll be a starting winger over there.
And Jared Weir-Hargreaves, 33 years of age and arguably in career best form. Like
he's unbelievable. He just looks so solid and fit. Again, we go back to fitness. You can tell the fitter players in the competition because they just seem to have more confidence than the guys who aren't.
Mm. Yep. Now, quickly, we did just rattle through our tips for this weekend. Obviously, MG has the Panthers to beat the Bunnies, but pending Luttrell's availability, one to watch. Cowboys to beat Warriors. He's got the Storm to beat Broncos. Eels to beat Bulldogs. Sharks to beat Manly. Roosters to beat West Tigers. You had the Dragons beating the Titans? This is where we should say, your bold prediction for last week.
Mm.
Titans to upset the Manly. Nailed it.
Yeah, it was an annihilation, wasn't it? That was Manly.
Do they continue on their winning way this week?
Probably not. If they're playing at home, I'd say yes. They did win without Tino last week, and look, Fafita's try and
both
AJ Brimson's performance were just fantastic to watch.
I don't want to talk about the Titans because I'm probably the only person that cares, but I don't understand how they solved the Jaden Campbell AJ Brimson situation because they're both best position is fullback.
Well, he played 5-8 against Manly. Brimson, I'd give Brimson the captaincy. That's the change I'd make for the Titans. I'd take it off Tino. He doesn't need it yet. He needs to concentrate in his game. He doesn't need the captaincy yet.
Nice.
I think it's just an added burden on a young bloke at the moment. I think give it to AJ Brimson and watch what he was captain last week and look at him go.
Yeah. And then Knights. You got the Raiders beating the Knights as the final game. Got any bold predictions for this one? For this round ahead?
Okay. So I think as I look at the games on Super Saturday, you got Eels and Bulldogs, Seagulls, Sharks. If I had to pick an upset out of the Roosters, Tigers, Seagulls, Sharks, Eels, Bulldogs, I think it'd be the Seagulls over the Sharks if I had to pick one upset. So my bold prediction would be that, Seagulls to beat the Sharkies.
Based on what?
Based on just how bad they've been. you just can't keep playing that badly as a club. Four losses in a row. They're a better team than that. We all know they are. And at home, at Brookie, on a, you know, what is it, a Saturday Arvo, Saturday at 5:30, the place will be jam-packed, and it might be a little bit of an ambush.
It's not an upset because they're favourites, but I've got the. I think the Bunnies beat the Panthers Thursday night, and I know it's not a bold prediction because as I said they are favourites, but I just think this Rabbitohs outfit. It's funny that we kind of forgot about the class that exists in that team. Aside from Latrell, you've got Cam Murray, you've got Cody Walker, you've got Damien Cook, you've got Alex Johnson. There is so much quality spread throughout that team, and it feels like Latrell is the straw that stirs the drink, that brings them all together and unites them all.
The match that lights the fuse. You know, similar to what Turbo did last year with Manly. You put that match on the fuse and they go, everyone goes up. Mm-hmm. Same as South. All of a sudden, Damien Cook's looking like he's the world-class hooker he is. Cam Murray is back. Callum Atungi. Burgess is back this week. It just seems to have a knock-on effect when your best player's playing, and I think that'll happen to Penrith once we get Luai and Cleary back. It's just going to be a different team once they're back, and if they can tread water up until then, they're going to be first anyway. So it doesn't matter, you know, as far as Penrith go. They don't want to be going into semi-finals with too much scar tissue, that's all. Mm. They want to be going in with some momentum.
Shout out to friend of the show, Damien Cook, about to become a father of two. Second baby on the way, so well done, Cookie. Good luck with that.
Good man, Cookie.
All right, time for us to get out of here. Now, MG.
Yes, buddy.
What can possibly happen before next week?
I wouldn't be able to predict it because I'd be so far from it.
I do have one question I need to ask you. Armand Dobbo suggesting, and we know how hooked in Dobbo is with Uncle Wayne.
Yep.
The Cam Munster, Dobbo is very bullish that Cam Munster will be a Dolphin by 2024. But he also suggested that if Munster got snapped up and the Storm managed to broker a deal to keep him there beyond 2023, the Dolphins should chase Latrell because of Wayne Bennett's relationship that was fostered at the South Sydney. If you were a part of the Dolphins recruitment team right now and you had said we have to focus on one of these players?
Look, there's pros and cons for both. Not many cons, but I suppose on age, Munster's older than Latrell. Latrell's only, 23? He's got a lot more footy in him. But as far as a marquee player goes, Munster's shown at 5'8 and now at fullback for the last two games how good he is as a rugby league player. My marquee man would be Munster. I think he's in the top three. Very rarely has he been out of the top three players in the competition every year he plays. He's just so consistent, and he's a game breaker. I think Munster is the man.
Latrell just turned 25 in June. Munster will be 28 in September. So there's 3 years between them.
Yeah, and Munster's got at least 5 or 6 years left in him, you know, because when he does slow down, if he's playing fullback for the rest of the season with Pappenhausen out, which I think he might. I think they're going to try and fabricate that position to make him the ball running fullback that they need. Because I'll tell you what, he looks dangerous.
Remember when he played that for Queensland in 2019?
Pardon?
Remember when he played fullback for Queensland in 2019? Yeah. I think it was. He was terrifying.
That was AJ Brimson, wasn't it? AJ Brimson.
Why do I have recollections of Munster running around at fullback? Anyway,
I think the last time he played fullback was like 2000 and early. I don't know.
Charlie,
but yeah, look, it's a good you know what, it's a good headache to have if you're the Dolphins, Latrell or Munster. You know, you're going to get one player who's just a game breaker and a game winner. I suppose it'll depend on what Cody Walker does as far as Latrell goes, because they're so close, they're like brothers themselves. And I think that Cody Walker's the next contract that he signs would be looked at really closely by Latrell. I just love the way Latrell's kind of, you know, he's come back from that San Francisco's trip, and he's a different kind of guy. He seems happier. You know, he's tweeting here and he's putting stuff on Instagram there and saying that I want your jersey to Matt, you know, in Origin with Matty Burton. He's, you know, yesterday he tweeted that it was only a hiccup or something with the groin injury. So he's a Ferrari. He said, "You don't let the Ferrari out in the car," or something like that. It's good to see. I love seeing him interact with journos and interact with the public because it means that he's in a good spot. So, more of that, Trell, please.
More of that, Trell. He's not the same as Nick Kyrgios, but Nick Kyrgios, it's taken Nick Kyrgios to turn 27 to find the way he wants to interact and present himself. Latrell's 25,
and it's a very good comparison because they're both. It's got so much ability in their hands and their feet and their brain. that you think that when they put their mind to anything in their life, that they'll be a success. And, you know, Kyrgios is starting to win me over. I really hope he stays on that trajectory. I said nearly. He's a long way off yet, actually. He's 38% out of 100.
What if he wins the US Open?
He's up to 55% then. Approval rating of 55%.
You're a hard taskmaster. All right, we're going to get out of here, MG. Always
okay,
a pleasure.
Have a good week.
Until next week.
Bye-bye. See you, Charlie.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.